Now, I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the prophecy of Micah, chapter 7. Prophecy of Micah, chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Micah, chapter 7, and beginning our reading at verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. The great man, he uttereth his mischief desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth for her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoureth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I will behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come, even to thee with from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitary in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvellous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and will cast away all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob, and the mercy to Abram, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Amen. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Can we unite in a word of prayer, please? Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee in the place of prayer. We pray that thy hand would be upon us as we seek to serve thee today. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst encourage our hearts, and that we might see that our God is still on the throne, that he will remember his own. Our Father, bless and help us now We pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit of God to show us thy word, direct us to thy paths. Lord, help us today. Draw near to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Verse 7 is my text this morning. It says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah, the prophet here, whose name means who is like God or who is like Jehovah, was raised up by God to be a prophet in Judah in the reign of the kings of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He would have been a contemporary with Isaiah and Hosea. And the prophecy of Micah really centers upon two subjects. It is a lamentation about the woeful condition of Judah, and then it is a celebration of God's abundant mercy. And you'll see what the way that he describes the land in his day. You'll notice that it was plagued with an incurable wound of empty, meaningless religion here. You'll notice, if you read through the book, you'll see that the political leaders of the people, the princes, were men who devised iniquity and worked evil. The priests were men who did everything for hire. They were more interested in money than in the word of God. The prophets, they prophesied for money, and they were not those that did that in the name of the Lord, but it was their own selfish desires that they were looking to. They were religious hucksters, we might say, and they were in the majority, and the people eagerly ran after them. And that's the thing. They had a confidence that the God that had been their God in the past was still the same today. And they said, if you look at chapter 3 and verse 11, they said here, is not God among us? None evil can come upon us. And they thought, well, we're okay. We're God's people. We will be okay that nothing untoward will happen to us. And they said to the true prophets of God that were sent to them, prophesy ye not. They had come to the place where they didn't want to listen to the true word of God. They wanted these men that said, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And you can imagine the great pain and sorrow of the prophet Micah here. He was a man who knew God. He had God's vision for that day and generation. He had a vision of the majesty and mercy of God. And he wanted the people to turn to the God that they should have been worshipped. And here they were, and they were facing a poor prospect indeed because of the judgment of God. But you know, in the midst of all this dearth, in the midst of all this turning away from God, and in the midst of a time when there were so many even of those that professed to be God's people who did not want to listen to the true word of God, we find that Micah found a word of encouragement. And he says here in the words of our text, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. And here he was, and he was in the midst of all this departure from God, and it was a day when religion was at a low ebb, the true religion of God. But he says in the midst of it all, therefore I will look unto the Lord. And surely that's a word for us as we enter into this new year. We think of David, who encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And this is the same thing that Micah is doing here. He looks to the Lord. He, in the midst of all that would discourage him and get him down, he looks to the Lord. And that's what I want you to do today. That's what I would direct your attention to today. I want you to look up above the things that would get you down. Maybe there are worries that face you. There are difficulties that are along the pathway that you are going to tread in the week that is to come. And I want you to get hold of this word from the Lord here. We had an encouragement last week. And again, I want you to encourage your hearts as we face into the new year. And I want you to see what he says in the word of our text. And there are a number of things here that we can find encouragement in as we face the new year. Look at what he says here. Notice, first of all, the proclamation he makes. He says in the text, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." And there he is, and he proclaims in the midst of the difficulties that he's experiencing that he can look to the Lord. And I want you to notice this look to the Lord. And I want you to see the context of the look. Now, you'll notice that the text there in verse 7 opens with a word, therefore. It's a word of conclusion. And I'm sure you've often heard preachers saying that when you come across the word therefore in the Bible, always look what it is there for. And really, that's a word of conclusion. And here in this text, Micah is really drawing a conclusion from what he has already said, or what he has been, or the circumstances in which he is placed. He says, therefore, in the light of all that I've said before, I will look unto the Lord. Now, notice then the context. Notice what he says when he says he's going to look unto the Lord. You'll notice that it was a context in which he had no fellowship to rely on. Look at what he said. Look at verse 2. He says, "The good man is perished out of the earth, and there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net." And here he speaks about the good man there, and the word for good man there is a word that could be translated as godly or saint. And he is saying that the saints, the godly people in the land, had almost become extinct. He says the good man is perished out of the earth. He looked around him and there were no good men. There were no godly people. There were no people that seemed to be interested in the things of God. He could see many evil men. He could see those that had being selfish, and they were more interested in money than in prophesying the word of God, and the priests were more interested in what they could get from themselves rather than uplifting the word of God. And he looked at all these things and he says that I have no fellow. There's nobody there. There's no godly in the land. And then he says, instead of being godly, you notice what he says about these people there in the text, in the verse 2 there. He says, they lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. And instead of being marked with piety and mercy, there was violence and selfishness and self-centeredness. And he's talking here about the lack of good men in the land. Maybe he's a bit like Elijah. You remember Elijah? When he was fleeing from Ahab, remember what he said to the Lord. He said, "I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." You know, as God's people, if you are going to live godly in this old world in which we live, if you're going to stand for Christ as we should, if you're going to be a Christian that the Bible outlines that we should be, there is a sense in which you're going to be lonely. There's a sense, of course, that sense of separation in which we cannot partake in the things of this old world. There are times when we've just got to say, I can't be involved in that. I can't take part in that. And sometimes that will draw antagonism from the world and all the rest of it. And maybe at times, child of God, maybe it's school, young person, little one here today at school, maybe in your workplace, there have been times when you felt lonely. There have been times when you've had to take your stand for God, and people have known that you're a Christian and so on and so forth. And there have been times when you've been discouraged because you felt so lonely in the midst of having to take a stand for God. Well, what does Micah do in the midst of that? He says here, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord." He says, "I will look unto the Lord." And in the midst of all this business, he looked to the Lord because he knew there that he had a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's like the psalmist in Psalm 34 when he said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And there, maybe today you're feeling lonely. Maybe, boys and girls, you're a Christian, and in the midst of school, you're under pressure to do that and this and the other thing, and you feel lonely because of that. Well, I'm glad today, like Micah, we can look to the Lord. The Lord is there. He is there to meet with us. He's that friend that'll never leave us nor forsake us. He had no fellowship to rely on. And then something else, he had no friends to rely on. Look at verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth for her that lieth in thy bosom. And here is the prophet, and he feels that he cannot even trust his friends. Maybe there's some experience here that he's gone through, but here he feels that even the ties of friendship, where your friend should be there with you, whatever happens and whatever the situation, but in the midst of this day and generation in which he lived, when men were selfish and all that they thought about was themselves, he felt that there were many friends that had let him down. Maybe there's someone here today. You feel that friends have let you down in some way, or something has happened and friends have let you down, or maybe you feel lonely because of that Christian stand and there is that lack of friends. What does Micah say? Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Again, his solution, look to the Lord. And not only had he no fellowship to rely on, no friends to look on, to rely on, but he had no family to rely on. Look at verse 6. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. There's the breakdown of normal family relationships. Of course, there's no trouble and no distress that is as hard as that which happens in the family when there's a breakdown of family relationship. You know, our closest relationship can break down. You know, in this earth in which we live, this old world in which we live, even the closest relationship are those that sometimes can let us down. But look, he looks to the Lord in the day of trouble, in the day of difficulty, when things are hard, when things aren't going the way that we hoped. Dear friend, the wonderful thing today is that we can look up and we can see the one who is high above all, the mighty God of heaven. And I urge you today, whatever your place may be or whatever your condition may be, what we as God's people need to do is look unto the Lord. Are you looking there today? Are your eyes upon the Lord? Are your eyes upon him? Are your eyes looking up? Oh, there are many things to discourage us. But oh, let's look up today and look to the Lord. Not only do we see the context of the look, but look at the character of the look. It's a look of faith. It is a look of trust. He says in verse 5, trust ye not in a friend. And he speaks about that trust that breaks down. But he says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. It's a look of trust. It's a look of faith. In the midst of the violence and the destruction that was all around in the land and in which so many had turned away from God, he says, I will look to the Lord, because he knows that the Lord will never let him down. The Lord is there to help him, and he's confident. The psalmist says in Psalm 60 in verse 11, when he said to God, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of men. And he had discovered that. But God, in the midst of history, in the Word of God, he has caused the darkness and the dearth to turn around. He is the mighty God to whom we can look. We can trust him. He's not going to let us down. Not only is it a look of trust, it's a look of resolution. He's really saying here, well, no matter what everybody else is doing, he looks at all these people that seem to have turned their backs upon God, and they're all, most of them are religious people. He speaks about the priests and the prophets and those that should have been standing for God. But in the prevailing climate of that day, they had turned away from God. And the fashion of that day was
to turn away from God. It was to look to material things, very much like the day in which we live. And here is the prophet, and he's saying, really, what he's saying is, no matter what everybody else does, no matter how much other people may fall under the spell of the fashions of this day, I'm going to look to the Lord. As for me, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whatever you do, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your motto? No matter what everybody else does. Like the day when the Lord Jesus asked his disciples if they would forsake him. I wonder today if we are going to say, no, Lord, we're going to stay. We're going to stand. We are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're standing for God. I read the story told by Wilbur Chapman. It was a story about General von Zeeland, who was the general of the forces of Frederick the Great of Prussia. And great general, General von Zeeland, had won many great victories for Frederick the Great. But he was a Christian. Now, one day he was in the palace, and all around the palace, the chat was, there were a lot of coarse jokes being told, and a lot of guffaws of laughter, and the Lord's name was being taken in vain, and so on and so forth. And this great general who won all these mighty victories stood up in German military fashion. You can imagine, in German military fashion, and he called for attention. And amid the hush of the flatteries and the those that were trying to worm their way into the good graces of Frederick the Great of Prussia, this old general stood up and he said, you know, to the king, sire, you know I have not feared death. You know I fought 38 battles, and 38 battles I've won. But sire, my hairs are grey. I'm an old man, and I will soon go into the presence of a greater than thee, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming against, sire. I cannot stand to hear my Saviour spoken of as thou hast spoken of him. And he said, I salute thee, sire, as an old man who loves the Saviour on the edge of eternity. And he sat down. And Frederick the Great, with trembling voice, said, General von Zeeland, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. And the company dispersed in silence. And the king reflected on what he had done, and he went to the old general and apologized for what he had done again. And you know, because the old general stood for Christ in the midst of all the pomp and ceremony of that court, amidst all the great people that were there, there was a voice raised. And isn't that what the Lord wants us to do today, no matter what other people may do, no matter about the fashions and fads of this day in which so many are turning away from God, yet I'm going to look to the Lord. I will look to the Lord. I'm not going to turn away. And we see here the people were prone to violence. They hunt every man, his brother with a net. But here is the man, and he's looking to the Lord. He is looking for the Lord in faith and in resolution. And he's looking for protection too, because of the violence of the people that are around about him. Oh, may we look to the Lord today. May we learn to look up above the things of time and sense. We see the proclamation he makes. Now our time is gone, and I've only done the first point. Let's just see the patience he shows. He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. But then he goes on, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Now nobody likes to wait today. But you know, we need to wait.
Now, I'm just debating here what I'm going to do here, because if I do this in a short fashion, perhaps I'll not do justice to it. We need to learn to wait upon God. And that's what we need to do today. Maybe we'll come back to this on another occasion, but how we not only need to look to the Lord, but we need to wait for the God of our salvation. And then look at what he says, "My God will hear me." And that's a wonderful truth. The God of heaven will hear us. And my, what an encouragement we have in this passage of Scripture. Oh, let us look up today to the God of our salvation. Dear friend, maybe in this meeting, you're unsaved. You're going down the road to a lost and Christless eternity. You're not saved. I urge you to look. Look unto me, the Lord says, and be ye saved. For I am God, and beside me there's none else. Like the prophet, it's a look of faith. It's a look of trust. Oh, that we might look up today and see him, the great Savior, the one who is able to save you and give you all that you need. Look to him for your salvation today. May God write his word upon our hearts. And may we learn to look up, even in days of difficulty and in days of strife. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's